You're listening to The Daily Football Show, Australia's only daily podcast on all things football. Gallup gives the reasons for Sydney's brace of Socceroos encounters. Tommy Orr gets some bad European news. The victory go Dutch, and Klopp speaks out on Coutinho. Thanks to electricitywizard.com.au, Australia's number one rated and trusted gas and electricity comparison site. Have your call answered in under 60 seconds by dialing 1-300-763-849. This is the Daily Football Show. Mark Van Aken with you. Adrian B. Gorton. Hoi hoi.
Hoi hoi. How are you, mate?
I've felt better and I felt worse. Joel Freebie Frucci? Any freebies this week, mate?
No, but TGIF.
What does that mean? You're somewhere in between, Van Aken.
I'm still not 100%, as you're well aware.
Yes.
You are aware there's a flu epidemic in Australia right now. You're aware of that, right?
Not really.
You don't seem to believe it. Do you read the paper?
No, I consume sporting news and very little else.
Well, if you're into The Age or the Sydney Morning Herald or the Courier
Mail. I don't
Mail.
Really watch the news. I live in my own little sporting world, Van Aken.
You know, it's funny, as you get older, I never, and of course, as you're a kid, you watch the news with your parents.
Yeah.
And then you get to a certain age, like yourself now.
Yeah.
We know it used to be that, and you don't consume it. And you get to a certain age, I think it's about 40 is the tipping point, and you start going, you do get to that 6 o'clock, you better watch the news now. Let's find out what happened in the world.
I might be like that. I put it on from time to time, but to be completely honest with you, I find it quite depressing because 90% of the stories are all negative and very saddening.
Most of them are, there was a bicycle accident in Brisbane last night. Okay, well, I live in Melbourne, I don't care. There was people in Sydney don't care. People in Brisbane don't even care.
You do realise that's a positive.
What, one less cyclist on the road? Former Cycling Australia staff member. No, I didn't mean that. I ride a bike myself.
No.
Not very often.
What I'm saying is...
I'm a cyclist.
You're a cyclist.
I'm a cyclist. None of that. I'll go get the boys.
So what do you mean?
We'll rough you up.
Think about it. So all these other countries, I watch a lot of Ross Kemp. I watch a lot of documentaries. So Ross
is
Kemp...
that gonzo journalism?
It is. Yeah. Okay. Ross Kemp Extreme World. So he goes off into all these different... Have you seen it, Frush?
No, I haven't actually.
Anyway, he goes off into all these different places all around the world, all these gangs and super dangerous places, right? Yeah. And
like West Sunshine.
Yeah, so what it brings home for me is you see all these gangs and all these people dying in this documentary and they talk about the crime rates, blah, 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 and how bad they are. They get to Australia and I watch the one on the Australian one. It's just a biking gang and they're pretty tough, but there's nothing about like killing and there's nothing about like death rates and it's pretty much just painting Australia in a very safe light. So my point is you should be happy that you get the odd report saying that, because in America, instead of a cyclist dying, it's probably like a group of people getting stabbed or something.
Yeah, well,
that's my point.
It's a shot.
You're very lucky. We're all very lucky to live in this country. It's a very safe place.
I understand. Yeah. Anyway, on the show today, we're joined by new Victory man, Victory. That's a Kiwi accent. New Victory man, Reece Williams.
Can I have a go at him?
Bet what?
We left my club.
I left your club. Yeah, but your club
didn't what?
Do. I don't know.
Interestingly, you were both there for the same amount of time.
Oh.
Oh, Frush.
Frush.
There it is. Oh, dear.
Well,
Can
I say something?
Yeah, sure.
I just want to, maybe you tee it up and you say, Reece, we've got a pretty disgruntled glory boy in here. Tee it up.
Please don't.
So why'd you leave my club? Anyway.
The Anfield Wrap's John Gibbons will also join us. The Anfield Wrap, of course, the biggest... You talk us through it. You know all about it.
I do. The biggest Liverpool podcast on the planet. So you could have taken that one, Mark. It wasn't too hard. But they're great at what they do. They've been doing it for about 5-6 years, I think. I probably jumped on board a couple of years ago. And they are fans of Liverpool Football Club, and they just talk crap, and it's great. And that's all they do, and I love it.
Great formula. Now,
well, that's the formula we have.
Friday show coming up, of course, the straight red. Let's get to some news. FFA CEO David Gallup has spoken on why Queensland again missed out on hosting the Socceroos. News Corp reported both Brisbane and Adelaide were in contention to host October's regional playoff against Syria, but Sydney's ANZ Stadium, wowee, one out, of course, as we spoke about yesterday. Gallup identified a number of factors for turning Suncorp Stadium down, in particular the ground's capacity versus ANZ's. We consider a range of factors, including the quality of the pitch, the travel logistics, and the stadium size. Though the Socceroos played two Asian Cup games at Suncorp back in 2015, no World Cup qualifiers have been played. I didn't know this. Since 2000, is that right? Since 2012.
Yeah, it is.
Is this rough for us?
Yep.
Yeah.
And when the Asian Cup games were played there, I don't know if you guys remember, but the pitch was absolutely abysmal.
Oh, I was there.
It was awful. I was in Brisbane. Of course, yeah, you were there. Yeah.
Putrid.
They also had moths the size of my hand.
I don't mind
inside
that.
The stadium.
That's my girlfriend's pet hate, moths, above anything else.
My wife.
Is yours moths?
Even butterflies. She's scared.
Yeah?
Shateless of them.
There we go. That's something they can relate on when
just press the buttons, mate.
Rob, just take that down.
You're not editor.
Take that down. This is rough.
Editorial over there.
We talk about expanding the game and giving it more exposure, and the Socceroos are the hottest ticket, maybe not at the moment, but they still polarise the country in a lot of respects, and these poor blighters up there don't get
this
a chance.
This is a very simple game. The FFA essentially puts these games out to tender, and the state governments... All of them, no matter where you're listening to us right now, Tasmania, Northern Territory, WA, your government has a job to tender for the games. If you don't put up the right amount of money, you don't get them. And I don't like ANZ Stadium. They've banned me on Twitter. I don't like the venue. It's an awful, awful, soulless venue. I've been there probably 10 times over my history.
Have you been evicted from ANZ Stadium?
No. Oh. Which is shocking.
On the list.
Shocking.
That's all right.
No.
Go away.
Thanks, Rob. I didn't realise you were on this segment. But it's just a soulless shithole. And until they actually make it rectangular, which I reckon might happen by about 2070, the way the New South Wales government's going at the moment, it's even when you're behind the goals, you're actually further away from the pitch than you are at the MCG.
I know. I've been there.
Hence.
It's crap.
Hence.
Yes.
But you know what? New South Wales government put the money up. It's going to be there. Simple as that.
It still doesn't mean that you can't be disgruntled and annoyed if you're someone from Queensland, Fresh.
Well, what if you're from Melbourne? You're from Adelaide.
No, because we've had our opportunity. They don't get an opportunity. I feel sorry for them.
I've got no problem with it. no, I don't. I'm serious.
Fruit. Bang.
Yeah, I mean, we know that Sydney is the unofficial capital, really, of the Socceroos. It is. And these are, I'm going to say this because I don't want to jump the gun too much into the intercontinental playoffs, but this is the biggest home game we've had really since the Asian Cup final
in 2015. Saying that.
And funnily enough, that was played at ANZ Stadium, as was that night in 2005, as was Josh Kennedy in 2013 against Iraq.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an omen there.
No, there is. There's good omens, definitely. We keep saying this, biggest game since 2015 Asian Cup, biggest game. You're actually right, though.
Yeah.
Like, I know people have been using that one like crazy over the last three Socceroos matches or the World Cup qualifiers, but it is. It is the biggest game
since
the 2015 Asian Cup.
Duh. Now, Tommy Orr has been left out of Apple's Champions League group stage squad. Or featured... These sound effects, I don't know.
Are they good? Do the people like them? We haven't even surveyed.
Are they that bad they're good? I don't know.
It might be like Croft's quiz. It's so atrocious that you can
win
get
today, by the way.
Now,
Orr featured regularly in the qualifying rounds, but was not selected in the Cypriot club's 26-man squad, who were due to face Giants Real Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, and Tottenham Hotspur. He told the World Game he was devastated to miss out on his childhood dream.
This poor bugger. You've got to feel for him, Frush. Yeah. If you don't feel for the Queenslanders, you've got to feel for Tommy Orr.
I do. I feel really sorry for Tommy Orr. And I actually put a photo up on our Facebook page of this with a bit of an accompanying caption saying you can't help but feel sorry for him. And sure enough, the first comment was someone saying, well, I don't feel sorry for an overrated SH...
Oh, come on.
One T.
He played well against Indonesia at Suncorp once.
No, but that is very harsh. I mean, the caliber of teams that he was going to be playing against.
By the way,
just devastating.
You say don't feel sorry for Queenslanders.
Yeah.
He's a Queenslander.
Oh,
God. From the Gold Coast.
It's the double whammy.
So,
no, it is disappointing because no doubt he would have gone there thinking that he was a great chance of getting into the Champions League squad, getting into the Champions League per se. They won their two-legged qualifier and got in. Now he's not there. So, yeah, you've got to feel upset for him. But what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, Van Aken.
True that. Now, Melbourne Victory is set to announce the signing of Dutch winger Leroy George, according to goal.com. The 30-year-old would become Victory's fourth visa signing, joining Best Up Borussia, Costa Barbarousis, and Mateus Sanchez for free agent George is left-footed and is capable of plying his playing on either side of the attack. Don't laugh at me. As well as in the middle.
We're laughing with you.
I think I should just take over reading the news.
No,
items.
You're right. But Leroy George, we all know Leroy. We're big fans of Leroy.
You Graham should be.
LeBroy.
You should be, being Dutch.
Well, I'm Australian, but that's why.
You should be all over
My dad was Dutch, sort of.
Yeah. Frush, what do we know? Any intel?
Nope. Barely any.
Okay,
barely
great. Any. Let's move on.
Just know he's spent a bit of time in the Netherlands, a bit of time in Turkey, and also Azerbaijan, which is a bit obscure.
Oh, but hot bit of football.
Yeah, I mean, his last club was in the Turkish second division, which isn't overly thrilling, but anyway, we'll see how we go.
Do you have a song for him, Leroy George? We'll put that one out to Jace from fuck's
like
sake.
Boy George? Be like,
come on, Leroy George. He scores a goal.
Is anyone still there? Good. Okay, Jurgen Klopp has warned Liverpool need to be cautious, you reckon, with Philippe Coutinho as he returns. I've lost the end of... Hang on, do I have to do this?
Just let me read it.
No, it's because I zoomed in and I lost the...
Oh my God.
You and I. Fight Club Friday is going to happen. Now, Jurgen Klopp has warned Liverpool need to be cautious with Philippe Coutinho as he returns from international duty. Coutinho was out of action at the start of the Premier League season. We know this. Anyway, let's skip the copy there. What's going on with you? You're the Liverpool man. I'm the try-hard Liverpool man. What is going on? Is he going to play or not? He's in the squad. They've put him in the squad for the rest of the season.
Yep, he'll play. Ronaldinho came out as well and said that Felipe Coutinho is the ultimate professional. And no doubt, well, he's just saying that he will come back into the fold. I mean, he will prove his worth to the Liverpool fans. And he'll do everything he can, knowing that there's a World Cup on the horizon. But Jurgen Klopp was pretty upfront about this, pretty direct about this. And he'll come back in, no doubt, and he'll play his part. When it happens, who knows? He was very coy about giving a time frame on it. I can see him coming back in for Sevilla. We played our first Champions League group game at Anfield next week, and I think that's the game to reintegrate him. And I think it's a good opportunity to reintegrate him into such a big game and a big atmosphere at Anfield. With the fans there and an opportunity for him to deliver. And look, if he starts banging in the goals, all will be forgiven. So anyway, it's good news. And I'm glad that Klopp's been very direct and honest with him. And the training photos I saw of Coutinho, he was all smiles. So it looks like the players have welcomed him back with open arms. So anyway, score the goals and I don't care.
It's Friday. It's time for the...
And Martin Atkinson, I think, has got the red card out. Well, that didn't last long.
It's off, it's red, it's Zidane.
In a minute, he's taking another card out for Beckham. It's a red card for David Beckham.
Adrian's a twat.
Well, you're a twat, apparently, because Muller, at Muller, M-U-L-L-E-R, like Thomas Muller, A-U-S, how's that? We've got A-U-S in our Twitter handle. He said, wow. Oh, and Wilson yesterday, you missed out on that, Van Aken. Always a much more listenable show without that obnoxious Mark guy constantly talking over people and making everything about him. That Mark guy.
More, it is about me.
He didn't even call you Mark Van Aken.
All about me.
Or tag your Twitter handle in. That's how much respect Mueller's got for you.
How many Palais Cup trophies does he have?
I don't know. Mueller, how many do you have?
But that's take it on board, as always. I'm trying to grow and learn as a human. That's fine.
Well, that's my straight red.
Was it? That was piss poor.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
That's a great straight red.
Straight red. It's not yours.
Yeah, it's mine as well. Oh, I'm complimenting. Joel, I'll come back to you with one.
I actually don't have one yet, but I'll work on it.
I'm going to give one to one of my own, actually, at Everton. Wayne Rooney.
What?
Oh, yes.
Court, drinky, drive.
Court DUI.
Yeah, and also,
Wayne,
what was he doing with that young girl?
Yeah, not his wife, was it?
No. And she's pregnant with their fourth child, Frish, is that right?
Yeah, well, maybe. That I'm not across, but anyway.
Can you imagine having to have sex with him four times? Seriously. Anyway, keep going.
Anyway, Wayne, you've got to be better than that. You need to be a role model for not only your own children, but also for not just Everton fans, but football fans in general, young football fans. Not acceptable from a leader of the club.
It's a very very well-spoken little rant there, Farooz.
It was.
I was going to say something else, but I decided not to. What's your straight red, Ben?
I don't even know. Oh, gee whiz. I haven't got a football one this week, except for maybe Ange. Look, I've said it before. I've worked with Ange. I'm not close to Ange by any stretch. I know Ange.
You keep saying that.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to big note myself and say, look at me, big gun. I know Ange. No, I worked with Ange, but, mate, you seriously need to. And we've had Robbie Slater on last Friday. And while I think some opinions and some editorial out there is a bit strong, as we said on the show, I'm not sure I want him to vacate the position. I'm not sure who we bring in. But what I am sure of is that you just need to take a step back, have a good hard think, and work out what is best for the Socceroos. And I know you don't deliberately go out there to be poor for the Socceroos or make bad decisions for the Socceroos. But I feel...
Swallow your pride.
Yes. I feel you need to swallow your pride and maybe, you know, there's a very simple adage in football, draw on the road, win at home. And you seem to just have this logic of just win, 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 win. And guess what? We don't win, win, win. Mm. We're in the playoffs. So to Ange, who a man who I respect immensely, and again, I've said it 50 times this week, I think he's a very good football coach.
Mm.
But you need to actually just change it up a bit, please, sir.
I'm just going to give one to Kevin Bartlett, just because anyone listening that knows Kevin Bartlett...
Because he's an AFL legend, yet his reserve is a soccer ground.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Home of the Richmond Alemannia, the Richmond Eagles.
I won't get into the details. They're now terrible. I won't get into the details.
Still in the NPL?
They got relegated.
One, then two.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going. Great schnitzels, though.
He had a few things to say this morning that were as obnoxious as it gets...
Like Van Aken.
Yes, exactly. So if anyone out there was listening to him this morning, hit us up and let us know, because it was...
What did he say?
I'm not going to give it the airtime. Doesn't deserve it.
So why'd you bring it up?
Well, he just deserves a straight red. It's recognition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't deserve a straight red, unless he actually earns one, is Rhys Williams, the new Melbourne Victory man, will join us, after the break.
You're listening to The Daily Football Show, the voice of Australian football. Did you know over 1 million Australians have used Electricity Wizard to compare electricity and gas plans? Did you also know that over 2,500 people have reviewed Electricity Wizard and rated them 9 out of 10 for service? Plus, Electricity Wizard is a big supporter of grassroots football right across Australia, including clubs and junior programs, and of course us, right here at The Daily Football Show. So why don't you choose a great electricity or gas plan from Electricity Wizard? They're fast, easy, and friendly. Speak to them in under 60 seconds by dialing 1-300-763-397 or visit electricitywizard.com.au.
Welcome back to the Daily Football Show. Mark Van Aken with you, Adrian Beaker-Horton, Joel Freebie, Frucci. It's a Friday. We're talking to Rhys Williams, a recently arrived at Melbourne Victory signing. Welcome, Rhys.
Thank you very much for having me.
I was going to say, not that recent, to be honest, mate, but how have you settled into life in sunny Melbourne?
Yeah, it's not so sunny, but it's beautiful. I'm really enjoying my time here. It's a great club, and just the desire to win every game is really nice.
Rhys, it's Adrian here. Mark, I think that was a poorly executed joke. You're obviously playing on the fact he's gone from WA to Victoria. Yes. You could have done a better job. Anyway, we digress,
you're just
Rhys.
A disgruntled Perth Glory fan over there, aren't you, Adrian?
Well, Rhys, I'm going to be honest. I am a little disgruntled. But what's happened, and if it's the best move for your career, then that's fine, because we've often spoken about your potential, your skill as a footballer, and I still, the last time we spoke, I got the sense that you feel like there's a lot of growth and improvement that needs to happen with you. So my question to you is, yes, I'm disgruntled you left the Glory as a fan, but do you think Melbourne Victory is the best possible place for you to develop at this stage in your career?
Yes, I think so. I think yeah, it's not always nice leaving your hometown club, but it's a move I needed to make, and I feel like this being here in this environment will make me progress like I need to. Like I said, the first few months of here have been great. You know, I've been pushed to my limits again, and it's a nice feeling that we need the desire to win every game.
Reece, it's Joel here. I was at one of the Gaffer's press conferences recently, and as you've just touched on there, he did mention the fact that he has asked you to evolve your game and, I guess, develop some certain things. So what exactly has Muskie pinpointed in your game that he would like to see you, I guess, build up on?
I think in this side as well, our back four is fairly young, so I think he wants me to take control of that. And also the fact that they play a really high pressing game, which I'm not really used to be honest. But the way he wants us up and back for the full 90 is something that I'm adapting to, and I'm really enjoying it. You know, I feel really, really fit. I feel good, and I feel I'm not a million miles away from where I should be.
And speaking of that young back line, guys like Tom Deng is there, James Donaghy as well, who's still quite young himself. I think he's 24. So how's the chemistry coming along with those guys?
Oh, it's great. You know, they're top quality players, and that's why the Gaffer's brought him here. Along with Jason Gary at right back, and also at the moment you got Brox or Stefan Negro at left back. You know, but it's the boys are great. The boys have been great. They want to learn. Dengie and Donks have came to me as well and asked him questions here and there, and I feel like I can help them as much as they can help me, you know. So we've got a great understanding already, and we've got three centre-halves. They're battling for two spots, so it's good competition.
Reece, I just wanted to ask you about the Socceroos as a player in the system. We were all there on Tuesday night. Well, you weren't actually, Mark. You didn't brave the cold. But
I was there.
Sure.
Yeah, I was there. I went.
You were there, Reece. Well. Tell us your feelings and emotions. Now, this is a really strange thing about it. At full-time, Trent Sainsbury and a few of the other players that I was looking at full-time, and even Robbie Slater and Bozza were just above us where we were sitting. Everyone was so flat and distraught. We won the game, and we knew that Japan were obviously a chance against Saudi Arabia. Now, it didn't work out that way. It was a strange atmosphere, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think I thought the boys actually played quite well. You know, any other day you'd say, "Oh yeah, it's 3 points in the bag." But I think it's hard for me to comment. You know, like I don't like to comment when I'm not playing.
Yeah.
And that's something I want to stick by. So everyone's been reading a lot, this, that, and the other. But ultimately, I'll keep my opinion because. Ultimately, like, I wasn't on the pitch, so I didn't have anything to do with it. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I can't answer.
No, mate, that's more than fair enough. And what about your Socceroos ambitions? You look at the team at the moment, and some people think they're lacking in certain areas, and they could do with a very versatile Reece Williams. Do you feel as if you put in some really hard work over the next 6 to 12 months? Do you feel like you're a strong chance of getting back into the mix?
Yeah, like I've always said, I want to be playing well for my club. I need to be playing for a start at victory, you know. Like you said before, we got Donks and Dengie here, and they're pushing me all the way. So first things first, I need to play well here and perform here, and then hopefully everything else will fall into place. I feel like I've got a good relationship with the boss, Ange, and hopefully one day we can reignite that. But for now, I'm just focused on getting fit. Being in the best possible shape and condition I can be in, and then everything else will come, you know, and I firmly believe that if I'm doing well here, then that will come.
Now, you tweeted recently, Reece, hurry up season. Is the off-season, it must be arduous. I mean, we talk about it all the time on this show. We speak to players day in, day out. But it must, and especially coming from the environment that you've been in for a long time over there in the UK, this off-season must just be so arduous for players.
Yeah, it is, you know. It just seems like it's never-ending, especially, like you say, coming from Europe. I think we'd only start now. There's 4 weeks till the season starts. I think that's normally when we're in, 4 or 5 weeks before the season. So, yeah, it's tough to get used to. But, you know, it's great. It gives the manager, gives the staff, gives the boys all time to gel and mix, and it gives us time to all get on the same page and work work for what we want to achieve this year, which is winning everything.
Well, it gives you a lot of spare time. So what have you been doing in your spare time, Reece? What have you, venturing out into Melbourne and seeing some of the best spots?
Keep it warm, to be honest.
Keep it warm. That's a good one.
It's crazy how much this reminds me of England, the coldness, you know. But
frosty.
No, we ventured out a bit. The coffees are good here. Yeah, the coffee's good. The avocado's good. just taking my son out places. And it's just, you know, it's a great city, and you don't realise how good of a place and how much there is to do until you actually move here, and it's been brilliant.
Hey, Reece, one of the things that there is to win this season for Victory is the Asian Champions League, which obviously is next year. So how much of a role did that have in, I guess, getting you over the line to Victory?
Yeah, of course, everyone wants to play in the biggest competitions, and I feel like that is one of the, well, it is the biggest in Asia, so... No, I can't wait. But first things first, we've still got another 8 months before the A-League starts. So I'll worry about that first before we concentrate on Champions League.
And Reece, if you don't mind saying, whereabouts in Melbourne are you living?
I'm living in a place called Williams Landing. Would you believe it? It's about 20 minutes out of the city, which is nice for me and my family. It's nice and quiet. I've got a 2.5-year-old son who likes to run a muck and two big dogs. So. I live a bit further out, but I enjoy it out here. It's nice and quiet.
Where is that, Mark?
It's at near Point Cook, as Rob just told me off.
Point Cook, yeah. Other side of the freeway to Point Cook.
You're in Archie Thompson territory, mate.
yeah, exactly. Well, Millsy, Mark Milligan told me about the area as well, so he's not far.
Okay.
So it's 40 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes home, so it's not too bad.
I reckon it's more like an hour and a half in the morning, Reece. that Westgate Bridge is a son of a bitch.
No, not when you leave at 7 a.m.
That's true.
You'd have a different schedule, Van Aken.
I was going to say, you probably don't. Yeah, you don't. 9 to 5, Musky. He probably doesn't have you working 9 to 5.
You'd be surprised.
No, I reckon I know he'd make you work hard, but I just don't know 9 to 5. You might have a different kind of schedule. How have you found the facilities, Amy Park? I mean, it's quite interesting for me. Melbourne City always talk about how great their facilities are out there in Bundoora. And they are. They've taken what was a pretty ordinary facility into this new age. But I always feel, and again, I'm not a Victory fan, Reece, but Victory don't talk themselves up. I know you're sharing the facility with a few other clubs there in the AFL and rugby league. But the reality is it's a pretty decent facility at Amy Park.
Do you know what? It's brilliant. It's got everything that you need. You know, you've got your own change room. You've got the recovery baths. You've got the pools. You've got the jacuzzi for rehab as well. You've got the big gym that's there, the theatre out. There's nothing more that you really need, and I feel Melbourne Victory is probably the closest to a European football club as you will get.
Yeah, okay.
And it's brilliant, you know. It's fine. It's good. It's good bumping into the Melbourne Storm boys, the rugby boys. And they're really good guys, and also the Melbourne Demons are here, and also the Rebels. So it's good that all the codes are mixing, and you can learn bits and pieces. You know, you see how much the Storm are actually in the gym. I think they're in the gym more than they train.
Well, it's funny. But, sorry, keep going.
No, I was just saying they've had a great season. It's nice to feel how much confident they are. It's rubbing off.
Rubbing off, that's good.
Sorry, hey, you're good. Word, yeah.
Not those Demons boys, not my boys.
I say his boys over there. He's a Perth Glory fan, but he's also a Melbourne Demons fan. So don't bring that up. But half serious question.
Yeah,
I mean,
unlucky,
very unlucky. But no, anyway, we're not going to go in.
Not unlucky. You just lost the game.
Shut up.
Hey, now Reece, in the gym, I've got to say, I mean, football boys are not exactly known. Although Cristiano Ronaldo might disagree, but you know, not exactly known for the massive physique. So when you are in the gym with the Storm boys and the Rebels boys and even some of the D's boys, you kind of feel a little bit, gee whiz. I know you've been a professional for 10 years or so, but do you feel a little bit inadequate in the gym there?
Yeah, I think so. When you get us soccer players walking in with singlets, yeah, sometimes it is a bit embarrassing when the boys are walking around, but no, that's great. We know where we stand, you know, and maybe we can say we're a bit fitter.
I was going to say, you can outrun them. You probably just can't out-bench press them.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing. Yeah,
well and truly. Hey, Reece, all the best, mate, for the season coming up. As you said, it's only a month away. It's hard to believe. It's been a very long off-season, but we're not too far away from the A-League kicking off. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. Take care.
No worries. After the break, the Anfield Wrap's John Gibbons.
You're listening to The Daily Football Show, the voice of Australian football.
Did you know over 1 million Australians have used Electricity Wizard to compare electricity and gas plans? Did you also know that over 2,500 people have reviewed Electricity Wizard and rated them 9 out of 10 for service? Plus, Electricity Wizard is a big supporter of grassroots football right across Australia, including clubs and junior programs, and of course us, right here at the Daily Football Show. So why don't you choose a great electricity or gas plan from Electricity Wizard? They're fast, easy, and friendly. Speak to them in under 60 seconds by dialing 1300 763 397 or visit electricitywizard.com.au.
Welcome back to the Daily Football Show. Mark Van Aken with you. Adrian Beaker-Horton. Joel, feeling for, actually, that's an old one, isn't it?
It is.
Freebie, yes. Frucci. And on the line from the Anfield Wrap, John Gibbons. Welcome, mate.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
There you go. See, straight away.
Don't
I can't,
do it. Don't
John,
do it.
I have this very bad habit of just mimicking accents.
Give us, so come straight on, away, give him the best
I try to just talk. I try to talk like a Scouser. I sound like I'm Scottish. Anyway, shut up. I'm done.
Shut up, Van Aken. Shut up, Van Aken. John, thanks for joining us. I was the one that was hassling you on Twitter to get you on, because what you've done there with the Anfield Wrap is very, very impressive. And for any of our listeners that are Liverpool fans down under, if you don't know what the Anfield Wrap is, then there's something wrong with you. But give us the elevator pitch. You've won many an award for your podcast. What's your listener base like around the world? And explain to those that don't know the content.
Well, it's fan-generated content. We started it about 6 years ago just as something that we thought would be fun to do podcasts on Liverpool Football Club. We used to do them on a Mondays. It was basically a reflection of the game that had just gone. And then it got more and more popular, grew throughout the world, really. And so we do a radio show now here in Liverpool as well. And then we've launched our own subscription service where we do podcasts every day. And that's been really popular as well. So the three shows are doing about 100,000 downloads at the moment. And it's all around the world as well. And yeah, so about 100,000 a week, and as I say, all around the world. And Australia's been a really good supporter for us. We came out when Liverpool played at the MCG about 4 years ago, I think it was now. We came out and did a couple of live shows, and they were really well supported.
Okay.
So the Australian Liverpool fans have been really kind of with us since the start, and we appreciate that.
Lovely, mate. I was going to say, we get very excited when we get about 100,000 a month, and you're getting that in a week, so it's extremely impressive. And I must say, I've listened intently for the last couple of years. I didn't get an opportunity to see you guys at that game here at the MCG. We're based in Melbourne. But the atmosphere that night, when we sung You'll Never Walk Alone, 95,000 people at the MCG, which is one of the majestic sporting stadiums in the world. Given that, you know, you've travelled around with the team, and you would have seen, no doubt, some momentous occasions with this great club, was that really up there for you? Because I spoke to a few Scousers after, and they thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was special. I think the team were really blown away by it as well, and I think that's an important thing. I think when the team go away, I think it shows everyone kind of what a big football club it is, and you know, not everyone gets the support that Liverpool do. Even teams that have been more successful in, say, the last 5-10 years, you know, can't pull that sort of crowd and that sort of passion as well. And I think when people decide they're going to follow Liverpool, they kind of jump all in, really. And it's not a pattern thing. It's not like, oh, I'll check their results. It's, you know, it's getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever crazy time you guys have to get up to watch the game, and doing that and getting down to all the bars. And I think, you know, when you speak to the players and the manager who was kind of there at the time, I think they were really blown away by not just how many people had come out to see them, which was 90,000, which is obviously incredible, but, you know, the passion that they have for the club. And I think it really kick-started a kind of fantastic season, that season, really, that night in Melbourne.
That's funny, mate, because Mark Van Aken and I were having a discussion, and he's a Liverpool fan as well, off air. He was talking about the fact that when I get older and I have kids and whatnot, and he's got a little kid himself, he reckons that, and I'm with you, mate, I get up at all hours in the morning and I barely miss a game live. He reckons I'm going to jump off the bandwagon.
This guy's full of shit, John. Listen, one thing, he has a go at me. Listen, John, I'm 41 years old. I've got a one-year-old kid.
And I've got to say, I'm a bit pissed off with the way football's gone. And the clubs like Chelsea and Man City, who are just middle of the road clubs, are now superstar clubs, right? And I've got kids, a kid, you know, I don't, and he's 28, so he has a go at me. He's, you didn't get up last night to watch the game at 4 o'clock. And I said, well, mate, do you understand? When I was your age, yes, I got up at all hours and every single game I got up for. But mate, when you're my age, you pick and choose.
Yeah, he's trying to which games you get into. You're a half rate fan, Van Aken. Anyway, we should introduce the other person.
We should. Now we've got a toffee here, John.
I'm a fish out of water.
Okay,
a toff. The mob from across Stanley Park that have never won anything. Really.
Well, I mean, someone's got to support them, haven't they? So
it's all right. Yeah, I thought it better be me.
Jump in, Joel. Come on.
Anyway, John, I wanted to ask you, and it kind of pains me to say this, but I look at Liverpool's attack with Roberto Firmino, Mo Salah, guys like Daniel Sturridge, Adam Lallana.
Coutinho.
You've got Black Suarez, Sadio Mane.
Yes, and of course, the main Mane. I'll go get my code. Anyway, what do you think? Do you think they're almost the best attack in England, and not just that, but Europe as well? Because I rate these guys so highly.
I mean, in terms of, they could be the best attack in the Premier League. What's really impressive about them as well is not just individually, but how well they work together. And I think that's what elevates them to above anything else in the league at the moment. You look at the attacking players that Man City have got, and they're very impressive players, but they haven't quite found the balance yet. They haven't quite decided quite how they want to play and who goes with what. Whereas, as a three, Mane, Salah and Firmino have really hit the ground running and look exceptional. And then the fact that you can add to that with players like Sturridge, who came off the bench against Arsenal and scored, with guys like Coutinho, who haven't even played yet, and linked up with those players so well last year. It is a really, really exciting time to be a Liverpool fan, because you get to watch this football, and obviously it's a bit dodgy going the other way sometimes, but you know, in terms of what we're seeing from an attacking point of view and getting to watch these guys, and just the pace that they attack with is unreal. It is really, really exciting to watch, and you almost just can't wait to watch them again. You know, we've had to wait 2 weeks because of the international break, and I'm dying to watch Liverpool on Saturday now.
Same, mate. I can't stand the international break, although I did see a few tweets this morning about the form of certain players. A lot of players that have been on international duty have scored or assisted goals, and Ben Woodburn's cracker was amazing for Wales on his debut. But I have to bring up Coutinho with you right there. The fact that he hasn't even come into the fold, everyone knows what happened over the off-season and the transfer saga with Barcelona. Where do you stand with Coutinho and his reintegration into the lineup?
I think, I mean, there's a few different factors, isn't there? I don't think you'll have any problems with the other players. I think footballers are generally kind of understanding of each other and their careers. And I don't think there'll be many players in the team who kind of feel, you know, too let down by him. I think they more or less understand that, you know, he's not from the area, he's not even from the country. You know, he's come over from Brazil and it was a big move for him, and they'll understand why he wants it. I think the manager, potentially, he might have some more issues with, although he's been very supportive and said, you know, he'd be welcoming back, no problems. So I think the one to maybe watch is the fans, because I think the fans have been angry. I mean, you can look too much into social media sometimes, but we've been quite surprised at the Anfield at the amount of kind of vitriol he's got since he went out to Brazil and everything was fine. And I think there was a little bit of the benefit of the doubt given, like, maybe he has got a back injury, but when you see him kind of running around for Brazil, like, everything's fine. I think that did stick in the craw for a lot of Liverpool fans. And so I think it'll be an interesting one, him coming back, what kind of reception he's got, because, it, you know, I mean, Suarez, everyone forgave very quickly when he did it. But, I mean, when Raheem Sterling was angling to leave, some of the stuff he was getting from the terraces was quite fierce, really. And so it could go either way on Saturday. I would expect him to start on the bench, but then he comes on. But then football fans are fickle. Look, if he scores the winner, then we'll all adore him again. That's kind of what we're like.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. I remember that vivid image at the Britannia when Raheem Sterling was going to leave the club, and the finger pointing and the chants, and it was as vitriolic as it gets. But that's the thing, and I couldn't agree more with you off the top. Like, Liverpool is very much that club. Once you buy in to the fabric and the tradition, the history of the club, once you're in that inner sanctum, whether it be a player or a supporter, you're all in. And anyone that goes against that is always going to cop a lot of criticism and a barrage of abuse. And I call Raheem Sterling Rat Boy for a good reason, because the way that he went about his entrance, or his exit rather, out of Anfield, put a sour taste in everyone's mouth. So I think with Coutinho, I agree with you. I think it's a similar situation to Luis Suarez. You give him the benefit of the doubt and you're on the money. If he comes back in, he starts scoring worldies, and I don't think anyone's going to have a problem. Oxlade-Chamberlain, what'd you make of it? I know there's a lot of Arsenal fans having a laugh, and I saw a few GIFs doing the rounds with that shocking shot that he had for England the other night. I look at him as a squad player, John, and I think he adds great depth, but with every squad player comes opportunity. So when he comes into the side and he puts his best foot forward, who knows, he could become a valuable option.
Yeah, who knows indeed. I'm pleased he got him in. He can play in a number of positions. We just looked a little bit light, didn't we, before we got him in. You were looking at the squad and thinking, well, what could make us kind of, what are the hurdles this season? What could make us kind of fall down? And we just maybe looked one attacking player light. And so to get one in who can you know, play a number of different positions, who seems happy enough to do that, who's got a really good attitude and work rate, I think it's a nice move. I think it's a really good move for him as well, because I think he was getting a bit stale at Arsenal, and I don't think you can maybe kind of look too much into his form there recently, because sometimes a move can really kind of reinvigorate a player, and I think it might do that here. And he's not going to walk into this team, obviously, because the team's playing very well at the moment and has good players coming back as well. But I think as an option for Liverpool, I think it's a really good one. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got, because obviously at Arsenal they didn't want to lose him, and you know he's not a player being pushed out the door there. In fact, you know, Arsene Wenger really wanted him to stay, and I think that says something as well. The fact that you know it's not a kind of, you know, a player who can't get in at Arsenal. He's played every game for them so far this season, and just you know, has decided himself that he wants to move on.
For me, John, the real gap that still exists for Liverpool is Dejan Lovren in defence, and of course the failure to land Virgil van Dijk from Southampton over the summer. Has that sort of left a bit of a sour taste in your mouth now resuming the season that that area hasn't been addressed?
Yeah, it's the one real black mark, isn't it, on the transfer window. I was never really expecting, you know, there was the Mbappe talk and things like that. I was never really expecting that, and Even the Lamar stuff that happened towards the end, you know, would have been nice. He looks like a good player, but you wouldn't say it's a player that Liverpool need. It would have been a little bit of, you know, very expensive icing on the cake. But I think for the centre half, was if you'd have said at the start of the summer, what do we need? I think every Liverpool fan would have said, we need a centre half, we need a left back, and we need more pace up top. And we've got a left back in Andy Robertson, who looks a pretty good player, and Salah, who's hit the ground running and looks fantastic. So you've sort of done 2 out of 3, but I think for some fans, centre half would have been the most important one. And I'm just a little bit surprised that when it went really, really quiet on Van Dijk after they kind of had to apologise, you thought, well, they must have a kind of ace up the sleeve or something. And then, so for nothing to happen at all, I'm surprised that they didn't. At no point did they go, well, maybe we should look somewhere else, because, I mean, I fail to believe there's not another defender in the world who's better than Magna Clavin, and that's not to be too mean on Magna Clavin, because he's okay, but, you know, it's not just a Lovren thing. I'm with you. I'm not completely convinced on Lovren either, but it's more when Lovren and Matip are out and they get injured a lot, is that the drop is so steep to the kind of the next player, really. And Lucas Leiva played a lot of games as centre half for Liverpool last year, and we've sold him. And so you haven't even necessarily replaced, you know, him really in terms of that role. They haven't really brought in a player who can do what Lucas was doing last year. And so they're pinning a lot of hopes, I think, on Joe Gomez, who looks a talented guy, but he's still only young and hasn't played much football because of injuries. And so I think I'm a bit concerned when you think about what could go wrong for Liverpool this season. I'm a little bit concerned that they might kind of live to regret not getting someone in and not getting a bit of quality in the defensive area, even if it's just cover for a, you know, better quality cover for Lovren and Matip.
Mind you, I'm patient and I've got a little bit of confidence in the squad defensively at the moment, considering I think it's 7 clean sheets in the last 9 league games. So I think Klopp's gradually getting there. He's getting a feel for it. But our biggest problem and our Achilles heel for, God, I'd say it's 7 or 8 seasons now, is defending at set pieces and just defending early during games, even in transition, is a concern. So I think it's more just let's see what develops over the next couple of months to see if Klopp and his coaching staff actually iron out those problems. But the last thing I'll say, John, is what's a pass mark this season? I go on the Red and White Cop forum a lot. I'm an active reader. I don't post a hell of a lot on there. And I think a lot of Liverpool fans are frustrated because we need another trophy in the cabinet. The League Cup's obviously not going to cut it.
No.
An FA Cup would be, you know, the bare minimum.
No.
Champions League is going to be a big ask. But I look at our style of play, John. I get excited because I think we've got everything that you need or all the ingredients to make a real push. And especially given the group that we got, yeah, it's kind on paper. But there's also that part of me that thinks, God, we like it against the big boys. So we shouldn't be taking any of those teams lightly. But what is the pass mark for you this season? Silverware?
I would say a title challenge personally. And I think that obviously means that we might get to the end of the season and we haven't won anything again, and that makes me sad as well to say it. But I think in terms of being reasonable, in terms of thinking, well, what should you expect from this squad and the qualities it has, I think a title challenge. And I think if we're going into a month before the end of the season, say middle of May, and we're still kind of right up there going for it, I would say that's been a successful season because we haven't had too many of those really, and I think the squad is good enough to do that. And then if someone pips you and if someone goes on a great run like Man City did in 13-14, or someone just, it's just a little bit too good. I think you've just got to kind of hold your hands up and say, well, we were there at the end. I just think, as Liverpool fans, we haven't been there at the end enough in the last sort of 10, 20 years, really. There's only been sort of 2-3 occasions where we've been in there shouting in the end of the season. So that's what I want to see. But the trophy thing would be nice. It'd be good for the manager as well, because the manager hasn't won one at Liverpool yet. And look, he's been here less than 2 years, but he's played 2 finals and lost them. And I think for the manager, I think, there obviously isn't too many question marks over him, because he's taken the club forward and because of, the man he is and what he's done in the past. But I think for him as well as the fans, I think it'd be nice to get a trophy under his belt.
Now, John, it'd be remiss of me not to throw Mark Van Aken under the bus. Now, our Daily Football Show listeners are very aware of this story, so it's probably done the rounds 5 or 6 times since we started this podcast. But Mark Van Aken, Liverpool fan, he is a half-rate one at that. He was watching the Champions League final in 2005. In Istanbul. Where are you watching it, Mark? Can you explain the story?
I was at the Celtic Club in Melbourne, which was packed to the brim.
Yep.
And
the Liverpool Supporters Club at the time, of course.
Yes, it was. It was now the Imperial these days. But yeah, I was there. What's your point?
He walked out at halftime. And you probably know a lot of these different stories, John. So there's anecdotes of a lot of people walking out and doing certain things. But
yeah.
Mark walked out, and I believe you got a text during extra time, and it was 3-all.
I went home.
Here we go.
I had work in the morning. I went home, and I got a call at about 6 in the morning and said, are you watching the game? One of the blokes who was with me. I said, no, I'm not watching the game. Why would I watch the game?
It was 3-0.
He said, you should probably put the TV on.
And what was the score? What was the score at the time?
It was 3-all.
It was 3-all. And that's why you're halfway, mate.
Extra time and the pens in my undies.
And then you took them off and did a nerdy run.
No, I wish I did. Anyway, no, I say that for grand final.
Well, at least you got the call. At least you got the
that's
call.
Right, John. I could have missed the whole thing.
I was in Istanbul. I was lucky enough to be there at the final, and the stadium was in the middle of nowhere. But I'm telling you, if that stadium would have been in the centre of Istanbul, I think there's a bit of a fair few Liverpool fans retiring to the bars. It was only the fact that it was in the middle of nowhere that so many Liverpool fans kind of stuck it out, I think.
That's true.
And actually, shout out to Ian Cooper, my mate, who's an Aussie who now lives in New Zealand. And you know this story too, Adrian, and probably said it on the show.
Yep.
Who actually had a ticket. He worked at a football store in Carnaby Street in London. I think it's called Soccer Scene, Soccer something, whatever it is. Anyway, and he had a ticket via Reebok. Reebok was our kit sponsor at the time. And flew to Istanbul and got that pissed before the game that he didn't make it to the game. So I'm surely a step ahead of him.
Oh, that that's devastating. Absolutely devastating.
Oh, man. John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap, the very best Liverpool podcast in the world. John, thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Anytime.
All right, mate.
You're listening to The Daily Football Show, the voice of Australian football.
Did you know over 1 million Australians have used Electricity Wizard to compare electricity and gas plans? Did you also know that over 2,500 people have reviewed Electricity Wizard and rated them 9 out of 10 for service? Plus, Electricity Wizard is a big supporter of grassroots football right across Australia, including clubs and junior programs, and of course us, right here at the Daily Football Show. So why don't you choose a great electricity or gas plan from Electricity Wizard? They're fast, easy, and friendly. Speak to them in under 60 seconds by dialing 1300 763 397 or visit electricitywizard.com.au.
Welcome back to the Daily Football Show. Of course, it's time. It's Friday. Frooch, get excited.
I'm pumped,
it's
Mark.
It's time for... You got a stinger here?
It's this.
It goes
it's still this.
Minutes.
It goes for 25 seconds, actually.
It's a long time.
If anyone knows baby John Burgess, hit him up for me. I'd like him to get him to record
what
an intro
Grant
for me.
Daniel? Eddie Maguire?
We don't actually know. Wait on.
Not everybody.
Grant Daniel. You've hit him up.
What I about... Up.
But if you know him...
What's his name? Glenn Ridge?
Glenn Ridge.
He used to be the Sale of the Century. Glenn Ridge?
Yeah, I used to go to...
Sale of the Century.
I went to primary school with his son. Can't remember his name was.
And we paid him a grand for the gig, and he said, please don't tell anyone that you only paid me a grand for the gig. And here I am on this podcast saying he'll work for a grand.
Here we go, another story.
All right, guys. Cross quiz.
I'll work for much less.
Stadium Spectacular, Mark. Ooh. It's all about stadiums today.
There's a stinger.
Oh, they're taking it off.
Mark hasn't heard it.
Oh.
Stadium Spectacular.
It was a fun stinger.
Yeah, it's not there. I had to clean some stuff up this morning on the computer.
Was it a Stadium Spectacular?
Wasn't quite as good as that.
Not as good as that.
Okay.
You wouldn't know because you don't listen
your
to shows.
Your name is your buzzer. One answer per question.
What's everyone's name?
Well, it's probably the same thing it was last week. What are you going with
mine
today?
Mine was a wrist.
My name's Mark,
week.
You dickhead. So.
Mark, all right, we've got Mark here.
How about Jaunty? Jaunty. It's my son's middle name.
So Jaunty? You're Jaunty today?
Like Jaunty Rhodes.
Okay, what are you? Frush?
I'm me.
Me?
Me.
Is it wrong? Joel. I gave my son a middle name after a South African cricketer.
I'm Donald.
Donald. Okay, all right, Don.
And only, so more stories.
Laptops down.
No more stories. Laptops like down. We said off the top, there's a fan that wasn't happy.
No, I was talking over people.
Yes.
Which I can do at times.
Question one. Yes.
Question one.
You going to bleep it out?
Laptop.
Laptop down.
Which of these stadiums holds the most amount of people? The Allianz Arena in Munich, the Bernabeu, or Old Trafford?
Donald. Bernabeu. Mark.
Donald was first.
Yeah, are you Donald?
Donald?
I'm Donald. What were they again?
No. Answer the question.
Why?
No. Answer the question, Claire.
It's not your go.
Rob, answer the question.
He should get
deducted. I've already told him, so you got to remember. You got to listen.
No, I know that.
Mark's next.
I don't think I heard the last one. I heard the Bernabeu, or Bernabeu, or however the hell you say it.
Bernabeu, yeah.
Is that what you're going with?
Bogey.
God.
Quick game's a good game.
I'm going to have to go with that.
No, Old Trafford. Damn it.
Yeah!
The Bernabeu.
I knew the answer! Was Old Trafford the last one?
Yes, so Allianz Munich has 75. Old Trafford has 75.6, and the Bernabeu has 81. So
81?
There you go. Question number two. I will not do any accents to say these out, so I won't give it away. I'll sit in my most Aussie Bogan voice ever.
All right.
Anfield.
Parc des Princes. Is home of what
Joel.
Team?
PSG.
This is killing Van Aken because you are a stadium buff.
Question
stuff.
Question number three.
Question?
Huh? Did you answer it?
He did.
Who?
PSG. As he said.
No, it's Paris Saint-Germain. Yeah. He's wrong.
No.
Question number three. What city, not the name of the stadium, what city has the largest stadium in Asia?
in Asia.
Donald.
Yes, Donald.
No idea. You've got no idea, mate.
No, I don't. I don't have any idea. I'm going to say Shanghai.
Mark.
It's all right. I'm happy.
Tehran. It's Tehran, mate.
It's not. Joel.
All right. I'm going to have... I don't know. So I'm going to have a stab in the dark. I'm going to say Jakarta.
Jakarta?
Jakarta. What was it? China?
Pyongyang, North Korea.
What's the... What's it hold?
150,000.
Whoa. That'd be about right.
It's Guinness World Record, baby. Look it up.
No one was question, ever going to get that.
Know, question...
It's from North Korea, so you know it's
I know someone listening who would have got it. Question number four. What is the stadium called?
Joel, the Kim Jong Stadium?
No.
It's called...
You got a late buzzer for that one.
I'm not even going to bother. I'm not going to dignify this with an answer.
No. They've played...
Donald J. Trump. Donald J.
Nuclear
Trump.
Nuclear Kim.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Nuketown.
Mark, you get a few to free go.
Donald J. Trump Stadium.
No. It is called the... Run Grado, 1st of May Stadium. And it's the largest stadium in the world.
It's not.
It actually is. Look it up.
Yeah,
it's Guinness World Records, mate. Question number five. What is the largest stadium in Europe?
In Europe. Joel, the Nou Camp?
Well, one. Joel, you wait. It's not.
Yes, it is. Look it up.
It is.
Look it up, mate. I spent a good hour yesterday researching these, fact-checking them all.
What's the Nou Camp hold? 90,000?
98.
Yeah. A bit over 90, I think it was. That's
98.
I haven't written it here, but I double-checked it.
Have you validated?
I have validated.
Wrong. It's actually pronounced Camp Nou.
Yeah, okay. We're not doing pronunciations, mate. Question number six.
Has it got one?
This is killing me.
Which stadium is older? So which one was built first? The Vicente Calderon, White Hart Lane, or the San Siro?
Donald.
Yes, Donald.
Why say Donald? Your name? That's not Donald.
I'm just going to go with the San Siro because it's...
Wrong. Crap. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
That's all right. Come on, Joel, beat him.
Quickly. Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Repeat the question.
No.
The first one.
No. He didn't do it
you
for me.
Go the first
no,
one?
No, no. White Hart Lane. White Hart Lane.
You going with White Hart Lane?
Yes.
He got it. How old?
Yes!
How old was White Hart Lane?
I cheated then because your face gave it away.
White Hart Lane was built in 1899. The San Siro was built in 1926. And the Vicente Calderon was in 1966.
The current San Siro was built for the World Cup.
The original. The original.
That would have meant... That's silly.
The Stadio Giuseppe Meazza, it's called.
Question number seven. What year was the Allianz Stadium in Sydney opened?
Oh. Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Was that first?
Yeah, I sighed.
I said yes, Mark.
So indicated 1999. I was there!
in 1999, we...
Allianz, wrong stadium, dickhead. Yeah. Mark.
No, he's gone.
You're out.
I'll get it. You two won't get it anyway because you're whippersnappers.
Come on.
Yeah.
We're going to have a crack. So, Donald.
Yes, Donald.
I don't know. 19... The Allianz.
The SFS. You should have said SFS, and I would have got it anyway.
The Allianz. I don't have a clue, but I'm going to...
Well, why'd you up?
Because you have to. Because if I get closest, I'll win it. I'm going to say 1987.
Oh, you...
So it's just me. Okay.
You're an idiot. Joel. You're giving him clues.
2002.
Mark, I'm back in.
No, he's not back in.
I'm back in.
No, you're not back in.
Rob, I'm back in.
Do you guys want to go back in?
I'm back in. Mark, 1988. Thank you. Let's go to the next question.
What a pig. What? He's allowed to be back
in? I got the wrong stadium, mate. I knew
I'll let everyone come back in. You can just yell
it. The SFS, I used to love the SFS.
Do you know what's funny?
I've got pictures of it on my wall at home.
Cool. Joel
even though it's a bit of a dump.
Shut up. Joel didn't see your cue.
No, he didn't.
He didn't see it. Did you see it?
Wake up, Joel. By the way, I'm pretty sure it was 87. I know it officially opened in 88 for the
looked
Bison Daniel. For the Gold Cup. Yeah, I know you looked it up. Where'd you look
it
up?
So wait on. No. This is contentious.
No.
Come on.
Why would you do that?
Move along.
Question number eight. Kirk Lees Stadium.
What?
also known as John Smith Stadium, is home to what club?
Oh, yeah.
Huddersfield Town.
Oh, of course. You wouldn't have got that.
No, I wouldn't have.
Mark?
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
Put my hand up.
No. Question number 9.
Am I on the mic? I can't even tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're on. Question number 9.
Am I winning?
Millennium Stadium is located in what country?
Mark.
Well, oh, we got it.
Mark.
Wales, which is not actually a country.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
It's a state of Great Britain. Nor is England. Anyway, that's fine.
It's where Liverpool won a League Cup.
They did.
Against
FA Cup against Arsenal, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
So,
FA Cup 01.
01.
With
and men,
Michael
and
Owen.
03.
Question number 01. 10.
Michael Owen.
The Michael Owen. Oh, you're right. The 03 was the League Cup.
Yes, we were wearing a gold kit.
Question number 10.
That was brilliant.
I actually used to follow football.
How many stadiums over 60,000 people are in England? So that does not mean Scotland or Wales. How many are
England,
in
the state of Great Britain?
Adrian.
Donald.
How many?
God. I think it's 3.
You knew the button.
What? Anyone else?
Two of you.
Joel.
Joel.
Four. Now you're doing it.
Joel.
4.
Yeah, because...
Oh.
It's more than that. Hell.
Mark.
Mark.
7.
Is it 5?
It is 5.
Can you name them?
Hang on. What's the 5th?
Hold on.
Hold on.
We should have been able to go back in.
Shush. As it is
for you.
You're right. Mark's right.
All right.
But we screwed it.
He hates to say it.
No, you can go back in. You can go back in.
No, Mark's right.
You already answered.
But we'd have to answer them all.
Yeah. All right,
okay, Donald.
No. Okay.
And then you'd have to answer them all.
It was going to be the tiebreaker because two of you are on the equal amount of points. I was going to do a tiebreaker for the two of you. Unfortunately, Donald, you're out. So,
what's he at?
Because you two are on 3 and he's on 1. Mm. And he can't win. He's not doing a who am I this week.
Now he's going to get very upset.
Yeah, you're done.
Are you joking?
No, you're out.
Are you... This is sabotage of the highest order. I was banking on the fact that I was still within striking range.
No.
You can't just change it.
I said question 10. You berated me last week and said, no, who am I? So there you go.
Tiebreaker. You were weighting this towards Mark every single week.
What are you talking about?
Tiebreaker.
You wanted to fight me a second ago. What's going on?
All right, if you want to jump in the tiebreaker and...
No, I'm not in it. They're your rules. Turn my mic off.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh, shit.
Tiebreaker. Mark and Joel.
Yes. Okay, yes.
Please name the 5 stadiums.
Oh, bugger off.
What?
Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Oh, name them.
Old Trafford.
He's looking at them.
Wembley.
Put the screen down.
No.
Old Trafford.
And I reckon you've missed one, by the way.
Check your screen after.
Old Trafford.
I was on Facebook. Wembley. Old Trafford.
You said that?
He won't get it.
Twickenham.
Mm-hmm. That's 3.
Have you got it, Twickenham?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh, clever.
Forgot about Twickenham.
Yeah, I know you did. 5. No, I'm out. Fuck it. I'm out.
Oh, my God. So I have to name all of them?
You're going to name all of them, otherwise it's
right.
A tie.
Okay. Old Trafford, Wembley, Twickenham.
I told you that.
Olympic Stadium.
Oh, yes.
No. Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's not called Olympic Stadium.
Come on, Bruce. You've got to get the other one.
Or London Stadium, whatever.
I said it.
London Stadium, yes. So you've said 4. There's one more.
What did he say?
Come on.
Oh, the Emirates, yeah.
Yeah, Bruce. I'm just happy for Bruce won. But I'm still...
Congratulations.
What did he say?
Okay, I'm back on.
Congratulations, Joel Frucci.
You're lucky this music's on.
Is that 3 in a row for me?
It is, actually.
You're lucky. You're lucky this
Cross
music's
quiz
on.
Is proudly brought to you by Mr. Sheen. If you're not Sheen, you're not clean.
And why didn't you say off the top that we weren't going to a final question worth 5 points?
Just decided to. Because I'm Baby John. I do what I want.
God.
You've upset him. I've upset him.
My anxiety's through the roof. I'm not happy.
I've got some pills for you. Might give you cotton mouth.
I would have won that.
You lost.
No, but I would have won.
But you didn't.
Should have just paid attention.
You won bronze in a 3-person race. Take that.
Just wrap the show up.
Oh, dear.
Just,
on Monday,
just wrap it up.
On Monday, we'll speak to stats guru and soon-to-be author Andy Howe about his upcoming encyclopedia of the Socceroos, plus Richard Bayless from Optus Sport, our mate, wraps up the weekend's Premier League action, which of course includes, as we spoke about earlier, the big game between Man City and the Pearl. Don't forget to tune in to the Daily Football Show weekdays at 4 Eastern via iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, your favourite Android podcasting app, or the Daily Football Show. Actually, Rob, before you go.
Yeah.
Arsenal. If you lose this weekend, surely Wenger gone.
I'd hope so.
What, to Bournemouth?
Not going to happen.
If they lose to Bournemouth.
No, it's all good. Let's get relegated. I want to go to the Championship next season anyway.
Better tickets. Away trips.
Cheaper tickets. Hey, as the late, great Johan Cruyff said, if I wanted you to understand it, I would have explained it better.